Tonight I want to preach out of the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. The book of Exodus, chapter number 17. When Pastor asked us to preach this evening, my heart immediately went to this text, and just have a burden tonight to preach this message. Also tonight, if you are feeling spiritually unsettled, I want to let you know something. Tonight, that unsettled feeling is your spiritual man's desire to have fellowship with God. And I've just felt like I need to say that. What you're searching for tonight is only going to be found in Jesus Christ. He is peace. Sister Billy, when you were talking, he is peace. Amen. He's the one that changes us, Sister Amy. Hallelujah. He's the one that makes us new. And I, you know, looking across the congregation tonight and those who've been saved since I've been here and those who've been saved well before I was here, you know, it's all the same report. God changes people, and he makes us different, and he makes us new, and he's the one who just, he's what our hearts desire. And so tonight, if you need the Lord, I want you to know something. These altars are always open. We use these steps up here as an altar, and that's where we come and pray, and folks will be here to pray with you. If you need the Lord, we'll be here to pray with you. Amen. Book of Exodus, chapter number 17. I'm going to begin reading in verse 8, 8 through 16 will be our text tonight. Amen. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. Everybody say prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, or they held up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. The Lord is basically telling him, I want you to remind him again and again and again what I'm about to say. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Hallelujah. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's pray tonight that the Lord would have his way. Heavenly Father, we ask for you to work. We ask for you to minister tonight to hearts and lives that, Lord, you desperately love. God, you want to help folks tonight. Lord, it's your desire to draw men and women and boys and girls close to you so that they would know what real living is all about, that they would know what it means to be set free, to have a purpose in their life. God, to have a destiny. Lord, we thank you that you call us out of darkness and transform us into your marvelous light. And we thank you tonight that you will go before us. You will fight the enemy, Lord. You've already promised it tonight. And we thank you for that. We praise you for it, Jesus. Amen. The church said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amalek. In Deuteronomy, chapter number 25, it gives an account of this fight. Sorry, chapter number 21, I believe. No, I'm sorry. I'm right. 25. Verse 17. Chapter 25 and verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when thou wert come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and wearied, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed that the enemy does not fight fair? Anybody ever caught that? You know, we say people fight dirty. He's the author of that. Amalek has always been biblically a description and a physical of the way that the enemy operated. Amalek was the descendant of an illegitimate marriage. According to the throne of God, according to the lineage of God, he represented all that was evil and anti-God and the anti-people of God. When Israel left Egypt, one of the greatest examples of deliverance in the Bible, God had just destroyed the bondage of Egypt, had just delivered them, brought them through the Red Sea. They had just walked over on dry ground, and the Egyptians had just been slain. And shortly after that, what happens? Amalek shows up. Amalek shows up right after the victory, right after the deliverance. Another battle happens. But notice here, he doesn't face them head on. He doesn't send out the strongest and the best to fight Israel's strongest and best. No, the enemy comes in from behind and begins to pick off those who are weak, those who are tired, those who are feeble, those who are older. He begins to destroy the people of God, amen, from the smallest, and then faces the strongest later. That's the way the enemy works. You know, the Bible said that the enemy walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever watched a lion, maybe a video of a lion on the prowl in Africa? You got those wildebeests. They're thirsty. They've been running for miles. They find a watering hole. Those big wildebeests, they're just drinking it all in. You got a little tiny guy, though. I don't know what their babies are called. You got a little tiny guy. And man, that lion, he sees it. He's got his eye on it. And all of a sudden, out of the desert there, out of the grass, this lion just comes running and does his best to find the one that's gimpy, or to find the one that's a baby, or to find the one that's been the most tired and doesn't have the energy to fight. You know, it's amazing how the enemy seems to just know who's at the weakest. You ever notice that? But you know what's amazing to me? And I think maybe God was giving us a little example in nature about how he expects the people of God to work. Have you ever noticed, though, that if there are at least any strong wildebeest around, they're going to circle around that baby, and they're going to do their best to fight off that lion. They might run, but they're not going to leave behind whatever they can. If that baby wildebeest is close to that mama, she is going to fight the enemy until either she dies or the lion takes off running. You know, I believe that's the way the people of God are supposed to be. Amen. Here we find that Amalek declared war on Israel. The enemy's not happy about the children of God advancing. The enemy's not happy about the people of God taking what is rightfully theirs, and the enemy's going to fight. And I've often noticed that those who are young in the faith, or those who are maybe sick in body, or those who are just tired spiritually, emotionally, mentally, the enemy oftentimes will try to attack them in their lowest state. But notice here, the man of God immediately said to his leaders, it is time to fight. Amen. Give me some men of war. We will fight the enemy. And what did God say? After this fight, you will remember them no more. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, the enemy's days are numbered and the fight is about to be over because God has promised it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The enemy's looking for a fight. He would like to take down whoever he can, whether it be a teenager who's struggling, with their life and the things of life, whether it be a young convert that has just now come into the faith of God and things are new and exciting, but you know, life can get rough sometimes when this is a new life and the enemy tempts you with the old things and it just gets hard. Or maybe you've been serving God for a long time, but you're tired. And spiritually, sometimes we find ourselves, especially on a midweek service, maybe not as emotionally strong as we would like to be. And the enemy wants to fight and tear you down. But can I tell you tonight that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. Hallelujah. Amen. We are going to be victorious if we will fight together to see God at work. Also notice that God provided a leader in the midst of the battle. You know, any great army would tell you that leadership and authority and command is really some of the most important parts of being in the military. If you don't have somebody to tell somebody under them what to do, and if that lower ranking member of military is not going to be obedient in the small things, they'll never fight in the battle. It'll never happen. Brother Dale, am I telling the truth? If you have a soldier that will not submit to authority, that will not come under the authority of his commanding officer, he will never fulfill his duty, amen, when the time of battle comes. Amen. But God provided a leader. Amen. The leader had the anointing. The leader had the direction. He had heard the voice of God. He had been in his presence. Moses held the rod of God in his hand. Amen. God is the one that had laid on him the burden of leadership. And Moses immediately said, we will not stand by and watch our folks get picked off. It was because of this direction that God had put upon him and the burden that he carried that God allowed his authority to rest upon Moses. But notice here that Moses then directs authority towards others. Other men and women that were leaders in that community and in that the camp, he said, get us men. We're going to fight. And also he got men to go with him up to the hill because he knew that he was going to have some help. You know, I'm thankful for leadership. I appreciate when God leads men and women to direct his people, amen, to instruct them, to let them know what the voice of the Lord has said. Amen. Even though that there were times in Israel when the men and women of God would come against leadership, God would still place that burden in the heart of Moses or Joshua to lead them towards victory. Can I tell you tonight, I'm thankful for our leaders. Hallelujah. That God has anointed, that God has provided for us. Amen. They've heard the voice of God. Amen. They've been in the presence of God and they know where we're heading. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God provides a leader in the midst of the battle. When the enemy's looking for a fight, the Lord gives direction and insight to those who are leading. Amen. I appreciate our pastor. I know it embarrasses him, and that's not my goal tonight, to embarrass him and Sister Hurst. But they carry a burden for our church just as much as Moses carried a burden for the people of Israel. And it was because of that burden that God allowed the anointing to fall. Notice it's the same rod, Brother David, that he had thrown down on the ground. It's the same rod that he used to stretch forth over the Red Sea and it parted. It's the same rod that time and again God used in the plagues of Egypt. But here we find that the rod is not directed against a certain individual, but the rod is an indication of God's authority. He said, I'll take the rod up to the mountain. Why? Because if God's moved in the past and he showed me that when we've been faithful to him, he'll be faithful to us, we're going to continue in that fashion and God is going to work. Now tonight, God has provided us a leader. Amen, that has been faithful in the small things. Amen, and because of them being faithful in the small things, God has anointed him in the midst of the battle to lead us in the big things. Hallelujah. Amen, but there was also a group of individuals. They weren't leaders, but they were helpers. Hallelujah. And in the midst of the battle, when the leaders were tired, there were helpers there to keep them going. Hallelujah. Amen, there's always going to be those who are spiritual fighters. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful for our prayer warriors tonight. Amen. I was off work Tuesday, didn't have to go to school, and was home. And it's been a long time since I've been here on a Tuesday. You know, when we were in school here, we saw the Tuesday morning prayer meeting all of our lives. And so I was thankful for that. But I opened the door the other day. I was, man, there's a lot of cars here. What's going on? Oh, it's Tuesday morning prayer meeting. I forgot. And it's been a while since I've been here. You know what? Tuesday morning prayer warriors, keep praying. Amen. Keep praying. Say, Brother Brian, I can't be here on Tuesday. Oh, pray at your house. Amen. Pray at home. Prayer warriors, we need those ready to fight. Amen. We are in the midst of a battle. Amen. The enemy would love to destroy and hinder and break apart what God would do. But can I tell you, there is still a victory for the people of God. And I believe there's still a battle worth waging and fighting for. Prayer warriors, it's not time to quit. It's time to get to work. Amen. And keep fighting. Amen. Moses said to Joshua, get us some men to fight. It is time, amen, to declare war on the enemy. Has he not wreaked havoc long enough? Has he not picked off the weak long enough? It's time to fight the enemy. Hallelujah. Joshua led the men into battle. Notice that because Joshua was faithful to fight the battle, amen, as a servant, God promoted him later as a leader. We've got so many individuals in the world today that believe because God has called them to the ministry, then they ought to just jump to a position of leadership. A pattern was set here, though, by Joshua. Leadership is granted to those who are willing to fight for a leader. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. Leadership in life is granted later to those who are willing to fight now for their leader. Can I tell you tonight, we've got something worth fighting for. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses is up on the mountain. The Bible said the miraculous happened, that every time he had his hands in the air with the rod of God, amen, Israel was victorious. Can I ask you a question, though? Have any of you ever kept your hands elevated for any length of time? That is not fun. Brother Rose isn't in here, so I'll tell a story on him, Sister Rose. You can tell him I told him. It's okay. We were putting that roof on, the Vaughn Hall, Mark and I and Kyle. Brother Rose was drilling it in, and we were holding that sheet metal up. And that stuff's heavy. And after a while, you just don't want to do that anymore. And at least as a teenage boy, you don't. Man, we'd be holding that sheet metal up. Brother Rose, he'd be drilling that in there. And all of a sudden, that screw would drop out of that drill bit. Ding, 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 ding. Hang on, boys. I'm going to have to get me another screw. He'd get in there and get him a screw and put that back, line it back up. And the whole time, we're just thinking, just drill it. Just drill it. My arms were tired. My neck was tired. My shoulders were tired. I'm just weak, I guess. I don't know. But your arms are elevated. Man, it gets weak sometimes. Sometimes at youth camp, you'd be praying. You'd be in the altar. Time is passing by. And all of a sudden, you're reminded, hey, it's been a while, and my shoulder's on fire. So then you start doing the Pentecostal one-arm workout. Were you? Love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, every one of our young people know exactly what I'm talking about. Get weary. Get weary in the midst of worship. You get weary in the midst of service. You get weary in the midst of working, in the midst of the battle. You can get physically tired. You can get spiritually tired, Brother David. You can get emotionally tired. You can get mentally tired just doing your duties and fulfilling the call of God. You can find yourself in a place where you need strength. Can I tell you one of the things that I love about Union Road is what happened tonight, testimony service. You know, there have been times when I've been so discouraged, nobody knew it, and somebody stand up and God began to speak through them to my heart and lift me up and encourage me, amen, and minister to me. And there have been times around the altar where I've been praying and needing a breakthrough and I felt so alone and felt weary, and all of a sudden a friend or a brother come and put his arm around me or put his arm on my shoulder and begin to pray for me. And all at once I felt all over again. Victory ahead. Victory ahead. Amen. We're not alone in this thing. And can I tell you that even even in leadership, we can get tired and weary. And what we need more than anything is no more complaining, but somebody to stand in the gap and say, I'm going to pray for the man of God. Amen. And whatever he needs, I'm going to do it. God knows where we're at tonight, and he can lift us up. Hallelujah. You might have been teaching a Sunday school class for years. Amen. But you're tired tonight. God knows what you're needing tonight and can elevate you into a place of strength. You might have been going to Tuesday morning prayer meeting for a long time, and it may feel like the answers aren't coming to the prayer request. Can I tell you, stay in there. Amen. God's going to give strength. God knows what we have need of tonight. He can help us. Amen. Personally, last few weeks have been tough on us, on Sarah and I. I told Sister Debbie tonight, just been tired, you know. And that happens when major things happen. But I cannot tell you how many times in the last few months I've had folks from this church, friends from around the nation, call, text, email, and just say, hey, I don't know why, but you're on my heart, and I'm praying for you. You know what I felt in that moment? I felt my hands lifting up again. Felt like somebody had their arm under my arm and just helping me, Brother Cruz. We need one another. Church, we need one another. Aaron and Hur, they went up to the top of the mountain. And what did they do? When Moses was tired, they got him a place to sit. When his hands were weary, they held him up for him. Hey, that's still, I'm going to tell you this much. His arms still hurt. Moses' arms were still tired. That doesn't change anything just because somebody else is holding him up. The blood flow still ain't working all the way up to the fingertips. But I'm telling you this much. It's a whole lot easier to do the work of God when you know somebody's there helping you than when you feel like you're all alone. The Bible said when Moses' hands would fall, the enemy would begin to be victorious. Amen. When our leaders fall, that is when the enemy begins to advance. But if we as the people of God will be willing to fight on the front lines and fight on the hill, by holding up the leadership in our hearts, God will always lead us to victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I wonder tonight, are there any Joshuas or men and women that just would say, I'm willing to fight the enemy tonight in prayer. I'm going to commit for our church. I'm going to commit to fighting the enemy in prayer. I want to see your hands tonight. This is kind of an enlistment. Is there anyone tonight that would say, just like Aaron and Hur, I'm going to stand. I'm going to support my pastor. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for Sister Hurst. I'm going to pray for Andrew. I'm going to pray for their children. Is there anyone tonight that would commit to that? Amen. I'm not trying to embarrass them tonight. I just know that there are times we need lifted up. Hallelujah. And when you've got the best in the world, it's worth lifting up. Hallelujah. So we might as well just commit tonight. Amen. Because the enemy will no longer advance on the people of God. It's time to declare war, amen, against what the enemy would like to do. Hallelujah. Amen. We've made a pledge tonight, and I appreciate that. I pray the Lord would remind you of that tomorrow and the days after. I'd like us to pray for some things for the church tonight. If we could have our music come, I'm not sure who's playing tonight. I'd like us to pray that the Lord would give our church a hedge of protection. The people of God, our pastor, his family, his children are, three of them are not close to home. I appreciate Mike and Livy being as close as they are. I'm sure they do. But pray for a hedge of protection. That God would just put himself around them, around our people. You know, we've been fighting sickness too long in this place. It's time to pray, church. Hallelujah. Amen. I appreciate the prayers of our people here. You're so faithful, amen, to get involved and to do the work. And I appreciate that. Let's continue to pray for a hedge of protection. Amen. Fresh strength. Fresh strength. Hallelujah. Amen. I was talking to a pastor out of state one time. I said, you know what you need, man of God? You need your second wind. You need to feel the Holy Ghost again. Just come in and lift you up because you're tired. And he said, Brother Brian, you have no idea Amen. How much I need to hear that, and that's exactly what I need. You know, a boxer, that's kind of a crude analogy, but they've been beat up. I might have fallen a few times because they've been tired. But all of a sudden, something gets in them again. It's that second wind. A racer, long distance, can have been running for a while and feel so wore out, lungs burning, legs hurting. And all of a sudden, they hear the roar of the crowd and they see the finish line in their view, and all of a sudden, they get that second wind, that fresh strength. Let's pray tonight that our young converts, our elders, our youth group, our pastor, our board will have fresh strength to fight the battle we're fighting. Fresh faith. To believe that what God said is going to happen will happen. You know, we've got outreach launch meeting tomorrow night. Amen. I need to believe again. Some fresh faith that what God said he's going to do, amen, in giving us a fruitful harvest is going to come to pass. Maybe fresh faith that a lost loved one is going to come to the Lord after all these years. Maybe fresh faith that what God has promised you will happen. A fresh burden for the lost. I appreciate these that have been going out and, like Pastor said, knocking on doors, and you've been passing out tracts and talking to your friends and family. I pray for a fresh burden for the lost. Hallelujah. And a fresh blessing on our homes and our children. Upon our pastor and his home and his children. I covet your prayers on our home. Amen. I believe the Lord is about to do some marvelous things. You know, Pastor's been preaching on Sunday the series of Revelation. My heart's been stirred about what God's about to do. These are momentous days. These are exciting times. Anybody just want to be a part of the victory? Part of the victory? Part of the winning side? Hey, man, I just want to have a place. I don't know if I'll be the guy on the hill holding up a hand, or if I'll be the guy in the front fighting, or if I'll be somebody getting a cup of cold water for either one of those two. I want to be a part of whatever team's winning, though, and that's going to be the church. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come find a place to pray tonight. If you need strength, you know, it's hard to admit sometimes, but maybe you just get with somebody and say, brother, sister, would you pray for me? Amen. Let's pray tonight, church. Let's find a place to pray. Gather around the altars. Amen. Let's pray that the Lord would bless our church, minister to our people, help our congregation, save the lost that are represented by our congregation. Amen. That God would begin to provide a harvest of souls. Amen. Let's do it together, church. Let's fight together. Amen. Let's wage war on the enemy together. Amen. We declare war in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray for our leadership. Pray for the board members. Pray for our pastor. Amen. Pray for our youth pastor. Amen. That God would help us. We need the help of the Lord. God, give fresh strength and victory. Lord, minister to our men tonight. God, our men's group. God, minister to Brother Jim tonight, our men's group leader. God, I pray that you would help us. God, revive your people, Lord. Minister tonight. God, minister our ladies, Lord. Help the ladies group, Father, as they continue to grow. God, use them. Minister to them. Father, help our Wednesday night workers. God, strengthen them in the midst of the battle. Lord, minister to them. God, ignite a fire of revival. Father, in the classes on Wednesday night. God, we pray, Lord, that you would minister to our youth group, that you would, God, do a work that only you can do in our youth. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would minister to our senior saints tonight, those who have been in the battle the longest. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to them tonight in a mighty way. Oh, Spirit of the living God. God, breathe revival and strength into our hearts tonight. God, breathe victory into our hearts tonight. Every young person that's making a stand for you, God, give them a fresh, amen, encounter with you. Oh, God, I pray that you'd baptize our men in the Holy Ghost. God, baptize our men in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, baptize our ladies in the Holy Ghost tonight. Father, you've went before us. God, you've went before us, Lord. The victory is yours. God, the victory is yours. We want to be where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praying on.
Glory to God.
You are who the
Lord is looking for. Victory ahead. Victory ahead.
Praying on.
Hallelujah.
For this will tear those mighty strongholds down. Very soon you'll win the victory. Pray on, pray on, for you are who the Lord is looking for. Pray on, for this will tear those mighty strongholds down. Pray on. The army of Judah was paralyzed by fear when they heard a mighty multitude was quickly drawing near. But as they prayed for deliverance, the victory would begin. For when we call upon the Lord, we say,